Praise the Lord, good morning. Let's open our Bible to the book of Psalm and let's read the Psalm 103. Psalm 103, a Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto his voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word that you give us. We come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your faithfulness. We come, Lord, to worship you in the spirit and in truth. Oh God, thank you for your promises that declare here to us that your covenant with us from everlasting to everlasting, to those who keep his covenant and to those who remember the commandment and do them. Yes, O God, we thank you for reminding us that we need to hearken to your voice, to your commands. O Lord, that we need to serve you. We thank you for the forgiveness that we receive through the blood of Jesus that shed on the cross for our sins. Lord, even today, sprinkle the blood of Jesus over each and every one of us as we confess and renounce our sins. And as we are coming back to you, Lord, confirm your covenant and clear our conscience from dead work, O Lord, by the blood of Jesus. Let's confess our sin. Let's come back to God in repentance. Let's commit our life unto him once again. Forgive, O God, you are merciful, you are gracious. Forgive us, O God. Forgive your people. Forgive your church, forgive every worker, O God, as we confess our sins, O Lord. As we are coming back to you, delighting to do your will, lead us and guide us, O God. Let us bring to God our petition and what we need of Him. Yes, O God, hear our prayers. Deliver us, save us from troubles, from sicknesses, from diseases, from the schemes of men. O Lord, protect us from our wrong decisions, protect us from ourselves. Give us understanding. Let's come to God and ask Him to give us our need, our needs. Now pray for your job, the place that you are working, your boss, your company, and ask God to maintain it, and ask God to give you provision and income to help you in life. Protect the places that we are working, O God. Protect our visas, our income. O Lord, I pray for the sake of your people, bless these places, O God, for our sake, O God, for the sake of your church, for the sake of your name, bless these places that we are working, and our documents and our visas are there. O God, we pray. You prosper them, so too we prosper. We pray for the salvation of those people that are working with us. O Lord, for those who are over us, we pray that they will know you. We pray that you will be of good attitude and do the good work so that they will see you through our lives in the name of Jesus. I pray for those who have no job. I pray that you give them open doors and wait for them to have job and income in the name of Jesus. Let's pray now for each and every one of us. Pray for our families. Pray for your wife. Pray for your husband. Pray for your children. Pray for your parents. Pray for your siblings. Lord, we pray for each and every family, blessing upon it. Bless each and every husband, give strength and income and wisdom and discernment to lead the family in the safe, right way, to follow you and to do your will. I pray for wives to be submissive to their husbands. I pray for parents to raise up their children in the fear of yours, provide their needs, O God, to teach them your ways in the name of Jesus. We pray for children to be obedient to you, Lord, and obedient to the instruction they receive from their parents. They will respect their parents, and they will fear you, O God, and keep your commands. And I pray for blessing upon each and every family, provision, peace and joy and unity. And I pray for each and every family to be a light for others, that people will come to know you through their lives. Lord, we pray, O God, that you will live a godly life in our families, that people will come to know you, O God, through what you are doing in our lives, in the name of Jesus. Pray now for the places that you came from. Pray that God will bring his word to these places, to your friends, to your neighbors, to your relatives. Yes, O God, have mercy on the people. Pray for peace in these places. I pray for your word to be sent. I pray that you use us, use each and every one of us, to bring your word to them in the name of Jesus. I pray for souls to be saved. We pray for people to know you and follow you, O God. Let's pray for this nation, the nation of UAE, that God has placed his church, and every nation that the church has expand and extend through members, through families, through congregations, or even through individual members. Let's pray for UAE, for Oman, Kuwait, Iraq, India, Sri Lanka, Philippines, Australia, America, Sierra Leone, and also Malawi. Lord, we pray that your church had been a place in all these nations. We pray for favor from you and from the government, O God. We pray, Lord, that you not allow any rule that will disturb your church, O God. I pray that your grace will be enough to reach us, that whatever rules will be worked out for our good and for our benefits in the name of Jesus. We pray for the salvations of those in the cabinets. We come against all the rules of extortion, abuse, oppression, taking advantage from expats, taking advantage of poor people, taking the right of those who are underprivileged. We come against it. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And we pray, O God, that we will also continue to pray for the souls to be saved. We pray for miracles. We pray that you stretch out your hand and do miracles in the name of Jesus, O God. Lord, answer our prayers and let them know that you are the true God and we are your servants in the name of Jesus. And we seek the prosperity and the peace of these places, O God. So too we will prosper and we will have peace, O God, and we will preach your word. We commit ourselves to respect rule, O God, and do all what we can so that the ministry will not be blamed. Lord, we pray for favor, for strength, for protection, for guidance that come from you in the name of Jesus. Now let's pray for the church. Lord, we pray that there will be more revival, more growth for each and every member, O God, especially the people who have recently come to know Christ. We pray for them to come with their life fully to you, O Lord. We pray for people to get saved, people to get repented, for more people to receive water baptism in the name of Jesus. And we pray also, God, wisdom and anointing upon each and every pastor, leader, elder, O God, and those who do ministries. We pray for baptism of the Holy Ghost. We pray that we will operate by the gifts of the Holy Spirit to evangelize, gift of healing, gift of faith, gift of pastoring, gift of exhortation. Lord, whatever we lack, you give us. And Lord, we ask you also to give us the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, and peace, self-control, patience, perseverance, faith, faithfulness, humility, gentleness, and kindness, so people will see you through our lives. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray also, Lord, that we expand, reaching families, people, nations, cities, villages, and places, new languages. Oh God, you will add to us as we persevere to serve you. And Lord, we pray for this worship today. Anoint all the items of our worship. Anoint the recording, oh God. Anoint the songs, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Anoint the message, your word to us, so that your people will know your will understand, oh God, where you want us to move in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I pray for revival. I pray for the protection of this recording to reach the destination, to reach the places, use the internet and all the media, oh God, to bring it to all our church members and to use it to reach others who need revival. We thank you, God. We bless you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's all stand in His presence. It's the time to worship the Lord with our songs. Worship is our giving our lives and heart to God, giving everything to Him, and our songs is to express these things to God by our mouth, willingly. Come, now is the time for worship.
Thank you.
Thank you, God. As we come to you, Lord, to worship you and serve you, and for your great plan for us, for your church, prepare us for your coming, so God. We are waiting for you, Lord. Perfect us. Cleanse us from all sin, blemishes, oh God, wrinkles and spots. Think any pleasant to you, Lord, reveal it to us and correct us and mold us, oh God. Even if we do things against your will, take us away, Lord, from these things and bring us to your feet. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue to worship the Lord. As we move forward to spread your word and to preach your word, that you will work with us and you will confirm all what you had said in your word, O God. We thank you, Lord. We pray for souls to come, pray for ministries to be started, we pray for more Bible studies and congregations to be planted in your church. In the name of Jesus.
I see.
as we confess you, Lord, that we are all what you want, O God. Direct us even today with your word and with your will. Thank you, God. We bless you. We magnify you. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let us now be seated in God's presence, and let's collect now our tithes and our offerings and our first fruit to God, to give to Him what is due for Him. Yes, O God, we bless you, God. We magnify you, we adore you. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness unto us. Even today, Lord, we ask you to direct us with the scriptures and speak to us through your word, O God. Anoint my lips and guide me, O Lord. And I pray for this amount of tithes and offering. Bless your church, bless your people, everyone who brought to you, God. Fulfill your promise, open the windows of heaven, and pour us so much a blessing that there will be no place to be kept. And Lord, we thank you because you have done it many times in our lives. And we ask also to rebuke whatever devour, payments, expenses, fines, penalties, sickness, rebuke them all in the name of Jesus, even the plans of the devil to this day. Rebuke all, and let all nations know that we are your people, we are blessed by you. Multiply this small amount of money and use it for your glory. Anoint the people who are taking care of this money, they will spend it according to your will. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We'll continue today to speak about the church in Ephesus and how God wants His church to move on, to spread His word, to be the light for the world, that His word will be preached through His church. We started last week, and we recognize how it was implanted, the hard work of Apostle Paul, and some of the difficulties that that church was passing through. And in Acts chapter 20, and verse 21 to the end, it speaks about how the preaching of Apostle Paul had hit certain products and certain things that was manufactured in that city. They were selling temples for the for some gods, and that because of the conversion, because people start to come to God, they stopped buying these things, and they were those people who were affected because that was their work, and start to stir up persecution against Paul and against the church at Ephesus. You know, one of the idols that people worship all over the world is money. And you know that when we when we preach the word of God, that idol will be hit. Either when we preach about cheating, this idol will be hit. This idol will be hit also when we speak about greed as a sin, it will be hit. The love of money. And also, when we direct the people to spend the money according to God's will, to give the tithes, the first fruit, the offering to God, to withhold offering and giving, spending on things that is against God's will, against the will of God, this idol of worshipping money is also will be hit when we direct the people not to pursue certain projects, or they need to spend on certain things in order to worship God, in order to obey God. That idol of loving money will be hit. And you know, that is an important point, because when that part of the city had been hit by the preaching of the word of God. The heavy persecution started against the church, and why it is important to mention, because after it happened, Paul decided to leave Ephesus after that had taken place. We will read this from verse 21 from chapter 19. After these things were ended, Paul, purposing in spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And the same time there arose no small stir about that way. Start the persecution. How it started? That is in the city of Ephesus. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of the lack occupation, and said, sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away as much people, saying that there be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. And when they hear these things, they were full of wrath, and he cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion, and having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men in Macedonia, Paul's companions in trouble, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the temple, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friend, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. So here the whole problem was stirred out not because of the preaching, because the idol of money was hit by the word of God. That's the God the people worship. And the Church of God in UAE is one of these idols that hitting. Why? Because all the believers who came to UAE, they came, including myself, I came to earn money, but God called me. That idol still in action, and not yet many people have surrendered God, have surrendered to God, and are unwilling to live for God, not for earning money. And certain of the chief officers, which were his friends, said unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing, and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander beckoned with the hand, and would have made his defense to the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, great is the honor of the Ephesians. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, ye men officers, that what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshipper of the great goddess Diana, and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, ye ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly. For ye have brought hither these men which are neither robbers of churches nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies. Let them plead one another. But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly, for we are in danger to be caught in a question for this day's uproar. There being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse. And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. Now here, that have taken a place, and we know who stirred it up. It is all about the love of money. It's not about anything else. How that was hit? Was hit, this idol, by the preaching of Paul, that through his ministry, that all the province of Asia, that's Turkey now, was it in chapter 20 and verse 1. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples, and embraced them, and departed forth to go into Macedonia. Now here, when that happened, Paul decided to leave the church at Ephesus. And when he left, the church did not stop. The church continued to preach the word of God. And we can read in chapter 20 that he met the elders of the church in verse 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. He again called the elders. So they were, instead of him, leaders and elders in the church, to lead the church that he left for them. He left after that attack of the enemy against him and against the church. And we will read in chapter 20, and we will read verse 28 to verse 31, what the church, what he prophesied to them, what he told them that the church will pass through. Because in the book of Revelation, when the Lord say, I know your work and I know your faith, and that this church have done great things, I mean, for God, and here the Lord, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst nor bear them which are evil. So that church was stood firm against all the false teachers, against false doctrines, against also idols, and also, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has fainted and has not fainted. That church had worked very hard, the church at Ephesus. When he met them in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, what he spoke to the elders of the church, he told them, take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now hear the warning of Paul to the church that there will be a grievous wolves. He said, coming from outside and coming from inside, they come join the church with a wrong motive, getting benefit or some emotional things, they will come join. But after that, they will go out, they will pull others and cause division and cause hurt and grievances in the life of the church. They will bite the church, they will disturb the ministry and try to destroy things. And that's what he says in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2. I know thy works. He evangelized, he traveled, he taught people, he baptized them. He spread gospel, he planted other churches. I know their works and their labor. Labor is to work hard. That was well known of the church officers. And we as church, we are well known by our hard work and labor. And how thou canst bear them which are evil? Yes, we stood firm against all the waves of the false teachings, immoralities, wrong motives, false shepherds, and false apostles. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Yes, we have dealt with many liars. They say, yes, yes, but inside there is something else. He say prophet, he say apostles, the meaning of apostles, it means they are sent by God. They pretend they have the Holy Spirit, they pretend they are sent by God, but inside they are liars and they have wrong motive of joining the church. And he say even that from among you, he say from among you they will rise up. And you know, those who are raised up from inside the church, they are more dangerous in causing division and causing destruction and biting the church, because they know what is inside. And we as a church, we had passed through all these painful experiences. And the Lord, the message to the church of Ephesus and to us today, God wants us to continue in spite of all the troubles that we pass through. Why? He told them in verse 4, nevertheless, book of Revelation 2, verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Because they passed through series of troubles. From Paul, he left till that letter reached that church. Many years they are passing through this. They were grievous wolves come in, biting, disturbing, causing division, and they suffer it. They bear it. They start. They evangelize. They get hurt all over again. That caused them to be discouraged. That caused them to be also enticed, because those grievous wolves and false apostles who claim that they are after God, but they are not after God, they are after material things exactly. After worldly things, to gain worldly things from God through His church. They are not after God. We pass through that and we have seen them. How after they leave the church, they are very worldly. They will go and do all the things that we have taught them not to do. They get involved in worldly things. And when they do that, see here the damage on the church. The damage is they cause discouragement, because all hard labor and effort and teaching years and laboring years will go as if it is in vain. But plus, they will entice others with their worldliness. They're around the church. When they pull others, they're going to worldly things. Those who are still, they want to follow God, they are enticed. You know, in Matthew chapter 24, how it is operating, and why the Lord here sending to the church that they should not, that they have left their first love. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. He said, because of increasing of sin. Because when you see around you those who suppose they are followers of God, they are doing wickedness and they are living in a worldly way, away from God, away from His church, you yourself will be enticed. Your love to God will wax cold. You become cold because you compare yourself. But God does not want us this. God does not want us, does not want you to follow those who have wrong motive. And God also does not want you also to be discouraged and depressed or daunted, and you You put aside your first love to him. He's saying you left your first love. He did not say you lost your first love. It means that, that you know what you need to do. You compare yourself, what you were doing before and now what you are, and now what you are doing. And this admonition of the Lord is to encourage us, to encourage the church in Ephesus, even to us as a church, to go back where what we were doing 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago. God is the same, and God wants us to do the same things that we were doing. We will read also about how the church gets discouraged in the book of 2 Timothy. Timothy, by the way, he was appointed in Ephesus to care for it after Paul had left, and he was requested, as we have mentioned, that to admonish certain people not to teach wrong doctrine. So, but it was coming on. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, he said to him, For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. He mentioned him about a worker, his name Demas, that was near Paul, and he left him to the world. Now, such kind of people, when they go back to the worldly things, they will entice others. That's why he say to them, you have left your first love. You get enticed by those who do wicked things, and you get also, because of your hurt, you decided not to go and love again, not to pray, not to read your Bible, not to evangelize, not to have Bible study, not to reach new people, because you don't want to be hurt again. But that is not what God wants from us. No, that's not the way that God wants us to face persecution. He told him, and has borne, and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. He's encouraging them. I know all what you are doing. Nevertheless, I have something against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. God wants us to go back to our first love. In verse 5, Revelation 2, verse 5, he says, remember, therefore, from where thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. He say to them, remember from where thou art fallen. You look back where you were in the past and what you are now, and see the deterioration step by step. You know, I always am very conscious of one thing, And I always say, if God will come to judge me about something, He would judge me. I'm very fearful about evangelism, that I need to evangelize without ceasing, continue to preach the word, and I'm pleading with God, asking, Lord, please, I'm willing, lead me to evangelize, I'm willing to speak, and that's what God wants from us. We should not be overwhelmed by the hurt that we have received in the past. The church in UAE, Church of God in UAE, is the same church at Ephesus. We have the main idol in this land is money. Is money. And when we preach, money is hit by the teaching, and the motive will be revealed. So we need to be careful about this matter. When we are called to be good stewards, we are called to save, we are called to spend wisely, we are called also to give tithes and offering and first fruit to God, and we are called also, when we are chosen between money and God, we should choose God, not the idol of money. They say, repent. And do how we repent? This decision starts from our mind. Lord, I am willing to serve you. Lord, I am willing to go back and to do what I was doing before. That's where to repent. Decide in your mind. And then do the first works. So be willing to do what you were doing before, evangelizing, preaching the word, having Bible study, following up people. Do whatever God is opening up to you to do. But don't be discouraged because, or don't get enticed by the people, by the grievous wolves who were exposed as liars and now they are living a worldly way. Don't be enticed by them and let your love to God come back again to the fire that He wanted to be. He said, or else, here the Lord is warning. What is the warning of God for us as a church? He say, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick. We are the candlestick. We are the church that is the light for the world. Candle should be put on candlestick and should give the light to everyone in the house, to all the members, to all the brethren, to the people around us, to the whole world. We need to give the word of God. He said, if you will not do this, I will come and remove the candlestick out of this place except thou repent. Here God is warning that I will remove the church. And that is here. What for? If you will not evangelize, if you will not speak the word of God, if you will not reach people, if you will not combat false teachers and evildoers and stand firm when we are persecuted. This message not only for you, but for all the members, all the congregations, and you and other places. That is what passed at the Church of Ephesus. We are passing it through, and we need to stand firm because God had placed us in this place. God had placed you wherever you are, and God wanted to continue to evangelize. Continue to reach people. Don't be discouraged. You have been bitten by many painful bites, God know it. But God say, you have fainted not, you can beat it. Don't get discouraged, don't get hurt, don't get angry, don't react. Come back to God, repent, and say, Lord, I am willing to do thy work once again. In verse 6, Revelation 2:6, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He's encouraging them now. He say, I know you are good. You hate those, the practices of the Nicolaitans. These who are those people? Possibly they came, the name came from Nicholas, one of the deacons that we read in the book of Acts, one of the sevens that was chosen to serve the Lord in the church, Acts chapter 6. Verse 5, one of them is Nicholas, and those group, they were doing immoralities, fornications, and all the filthy things, and they used their wives in common, and they say that we learned this from Nicholas. But Nicholas was a godly man, he has one wife, his girls were virgins, and his boys also, they were obedient to God. And they were promoting that these things, and they justified that somebody taught us. The church at Ephesus have stood firm against such teaching and did not allow it. And hear the Lord, that thou have hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So he's encouraging them. I know you are standing firm in the doctrine, but I want you to evangelize. I want you to go back for prayers. Go back in reading the word. Go back in teaching others. Go back in giving your life once again to serve the Lord. He that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. God is speaking to us today. He wants revival. He wants ministry to be restarting once again in your heart, in your mind. That the Holy Spirit that He is giving us to fill us so that we can reach others. He said, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. The tree of life, we can read about this in the midst of the paradise, in the Garden East of Eden, in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. There was the tree of life, and the tree of life is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And also we read about the tree of life. This is the reward of us, the reward of God to us, that He will give us as we obey, as we overcome. How we overcome? We go back to our first love. Do the work that we were doing 20 years ago in the streets, evangelizing, walking, reaching people. And even we are old age, even we are having difficulties, limitations. God knows this, but what you can do, you do. What is in your ability to do, that's what you are called today to be accountable to God, to serve Him. He said, to this who overcome, I will give him, I will give him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. The tree of life give healing, and we can read about it in Book of Revelation chapter 22 and verse 2. In the midst of the street of it, and on the other side of the river, that is in the New Jerusalem, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. God will, we will receive healing, healing from sicknesses, infirmities, as we overcome, as we obey God, as we are willing to go and preach His word. Amen. And what are the fruit of the tree of life? Not only this, but let us discern what we will receive from God if we will go back to our first love and start to do the work that we were doing before. Let's read about the tree of life and what is linked with it in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 18. It say about the wisdom of God. She is the tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. We will have wisdom. We will have the wisdom of God, and that wisdom of God is the tree of life. That is the fruit of the tree of life. And in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. 11 verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls his wife. Now the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. God wants us to be fruitful and will win souls for Him. As we decide how we overcome, start by decision in your mind. As we decide to serve God, God will enable us to win souls for Him, new souls for the kingdom of God. And chapter 13, Proverbs 13 and verse 12, say, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Now, every one of us have desire. Have you have certain desire in your heart, and you want God to approve it? When He approve it, that is the tree of life that you are getting from Him. What I understand here is that when I obey God, my desire that is, I am looking for, God will fulfill it. As we delight in the Lord, He will give us the desire of our heart. And let's read Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 4. What God will give us? God will give us souls. God will give us our heart desires. God will give us wisdom. In verse 4, Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, But perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. God will give us wholesome tongue, will enable us to preach and to speak His word. These are the fruit that God had promised to the church at Ephesus, and He is also promising us today. If we go and do the work that we were doing at the beginning when we come to do the work and do the first works, God say to us today, let's all stand in His presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word that you speak to us. God say, repent. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Where you have been, and now where you are. There is warning. Lord, I repent. I decided I continue to serve you, Lord. Continue to evangelize in spite of all hurt, pressure, biting, enticement. It's my decision, O God. I will do the first works that I was doing. But I pray for my brothers and my sisters who come in their lives also. Give us what you promised, Lord, that we will have the fruit of the tree of life. You will give us the right to eat of the tree of life, to have salvation, eternal life, to have Jesus in our lives, to have wisdom, to have awesome tongue, to have our desire fulfilled and to win souls for you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray, fill us once again with the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit fall on us even now as we commit our life to serve you. Lord, we need your grace and mercy. We need your forgiveness, O God. We need your healing upon us, Lord. We need your power, O God. The power of the Holy Ghost. Open the heaven doors and fill us to go and proclaim your word with the power of the Holy Ghost. You know our infirmities, our weaknesses, our limitations. But the Holy Spirit that you send, O God, will enable us, Lord, to overcome all these limitations. Hear our prayer. Lord, hear our cry till this morning as a church. Revive us once again in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hear us, O God.
The power of your Holy Spirit. our prayer. Thank you for the leaving of the Holy Ghost. Here we are, O Lord, send us to the lost souls to bring the fruit that you desire to see in the life of each and every one of us and in the life of your church. Take your word and spread it, O God. Lord, bless us. Enlarge our territory. Let your hand be with us. And keep us, Lord, from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.